phone in with your own special tribute, memory, magic moment, memorable game or score of Tigers. Our own Margaret Brick awaits your call. And we are joined in studio tonight by Kilcommon Lassie, Patrice O'Connell, the All Ireland Scorn and Oak singing champion of Ireland, who's going to help us to present this special programme. Tighe Lyon, the Killarney and Dr. Croaksman, is acknowledged as one of the greatest forwards of his or any other generation. He won three glorious All-Irelands in 53, 55 and 59. He was top scorer in Ireland for three consecutive seasons, the only Kerryman to have achieved this feat. He represented an All-Ireland GA selection for 3 years in 54, 55 and 56, with the honour of being captain in 1956. He won a Kerry County Championship medal with Dick Fitzgeralds in 1951 and played in a county hurling final that very same year with Killarney. An outstanding basketball player, he won an All-Ireland medal with Killarney in 1957. Tighe Lyon lit up the decade of the 50s like a meteorite lighting up the night sky. And of course, this evening, we will only scratch the surface of this great man's career. And as we pay tribute to one great Kerry footballer, we sympathise with the family of another. The death took place today of Johnny Welch, president of the GA in Kerry, winner of 5 All-Ireland senior medals with Kerry, her yesterday Gareva Anam Dealish. So stay with us until 7:30 as we record and retrace some of the greatest moments of Tighe's career. Tighe Lyon, the Prince of Forwards.
Tighe Lyon was born at Sunnyhill, Killarney in the 1930s, one of 3 boys and 2 girls. His mother, Nellie Flynn, a Fieries woman, a family of 9, one of 7 girls and 2 boys. His father, Jerome, a Kilgarvan man, and as Tighe recalled, played a bit of hurling. His boyhood friends in the Killarney of the 1930s and 40s included Mickey Dock O'Donoghue, Mert and Petty Bomber O'Shea, Johnny Sullivan, Den O'Keefe, Bill Landers, who died just a few weeks ago, and of course, John O'Connor. He attended school at Presentation Monastery and St. Brendan's Seminary, where his early football powers were easily noticed. However, Tighe did not get on the Kerry minor side of his year.
Eamon, unfortunately, Tighe can't be with us tonight.
No, I wish, but we have nearly 3/4 of an hour of very interesting tape, and as you know yourself, we had a great evening down Clowney Road in Castle Island.
Fabulous evening in Castle Island, Eamon. He welcomed us into his home. We had a great chat with him, and of course, I think it's important to say that, as far as I know, it's the first time that Tighe has been interviewed either on radio or television. He was a boyhood hero of everybody. He told us some fabulous stories, didn't he?
Well, he told us some stories which... after the official interview, and I wish we could tell them, but they were better even than the other one.
Tom McHugh is on the line now, is that right, Joe? No. Right, we'll go straight to the first part of our interview with Tighe Lyon there, and this will run for about 10 minutes, so sit back and enjoy it and listen to what Tighe had to say.
Tighe, I suppose really the first thing we should ask you really is about your own family. How many were in the family? Not to mention your mother and father, and how many were in the...
Six. Just about in family. 3 girls and 3 boys.
Your first interest in Gaelic football, was there football in the family, Tighe? And what was your first, how did you become interested in it?
No, my father was dead, but running back until there, my wife. I suppose, total sum of it, sir.
How did you become involved in football yourself, Tighe? Your young days in Killarney, sir?
Up around Sunnyhill with Marty and Johnny Sullivan, the Bomber, and a few more friends like that, up around Sunnyhill.
You were going to the Manor then for a good bit, Tighe, you know, play there?
Yes, 25 years, I said.
And then you went to the Simmer course?
Up to 3 years. Yeah. I just spent four years in the Simmer. Yeah. We won them. Then there was a two Dunlop Cups and a Munster Cup. Munster Championship medal.
And then, Tighe, how did you get involved with the Croaks? Was it natural, or was it a Croak family like, or did you just pal around with some of the boys?
Depending on what the boys were, Martin and Martin especially, anyway, so they influenced me to play with the Croaks.
Now, Tighe, what was your favourite position playing in the game?
When I started in 10 minor, which Killarney left out back. I thought it was okay, but I decided I could play forward better, so left half was my position.
Yeah, and looking back over your own career now, Ty, what was your best game, would you say, ever?
It's a tough one. As far as scoring is concerned, we've had today in 51 years of Ireland Championship. That was the best display I ever gave.
And what about for the county, then, Ty? What was your best game, would you say?
I suppose 55. Just to beat Dublin and all, maybe.
You were at your peak that particular day, Ty, weren't you, really? You were at the peak of your fitness.
I always kept myself fit. There's a little training you just have to do.
What do you remember about that particular day?
In the first paint. Getting the bars in the late shed. Saying to myself, may not be with you, Kevin. All the bad of it.
That was probably one of the greatest victories Kerry ever had, Ty. And of course, you have fond memories of it, no doubt at all about that. And was it your fondest game in the green and gold?
I know, I thought the first All Ireland I won against Armagh was the one after winning the All Ireland in the middle of. I had the chief I ever thought to achieve. So.
The famous penalty, Ty, against Armagh in 53. What are your memories of being out in the field and wondering that time?
I never don't hear them, the field in there, but I think Armless might have interfered with him. There should have been a stores at Quelly, for me, but he kicked away there. Something like that. Adam Button, yeah.
Ty, turning to the training for those finals now, 53 and 55. Talk to me about Dr. Raymond and about Paul Russell. What was the training like now, those times?
It was all weathered on there. You all got a glow up, but. I don't want to sit in part there or fast enough to have just rolled 27, and, which is a very handy way to take. And we were exclusive for most of the heavy training, like. Until one night we went back to Killarney. I wasn't 55, I think. I was staying on the same particular to train, and I decided to go back to Puck. Before the camp, that's in 55. About 14, this went back in the back of the lorry and I went, but we had such a father and then I became in there. We definitely got a load of them rust.
What kind of a man then was Dr. Raymond in the line of training, Ty? What were his strong points, you know? What does he concentrate on?
Sprinting, mostly. To get to the bars first was his idea. And, I don't want half a quarter acre, but I got a quarter acre to save. Like, I would put cabbage, onions, potatoes, find a patch of tar to us. Don't let no one interfere with that except yourself.
And Ty, if you left your own little acre, would he give out you like that? Did he tell you keep inside your own little corner?
That was to go with our sense, but there's a number of mind in him. You keep your own half acre and take this as an. If we would do that, we'd keep on winning.
Now, Ty, look, going back to yourself again, you know, you had a very distinctive kick, of course, and you were recognised as one of the greatest long kickers the game has ever seen. Did you develop your style? Used to practice it a lot, talked about when you were a youngster and things like that?
Well, the fella had a garage in Canada, and I was taking 2 miles after the left, about 4 inches after the round. And I just pinned them in with left and right. So keep doing that for about an hour every night. And like such a thing, kick. Then I'd have the father to the perfection. There's the father to that nice to kick. If you don't father to the parking lot. So I must have perfected that. Bit of a spin you put in the bar when to lay in your hand. Lift out to the right, which is a hard thing to do when you're kicking the ball, but you'll get used to that already.
And Ty, looking at all you of course you've kicked hundreds of points in your time, what would you say in your own mind now was the best score, most difficult maybe, at the most vital score you ever kicked?
I suppose the most vital score was against Kevin, 55 to 1 score. The one that Johnny sent into the corner. I suppose they were the most medals got ever left. Okay.
Is there any player around today now, Tig? You're watching and you'll probably follow the game on television. What player would have the same skills as what you have? Would you think there is one around?
Well, that's just struggled. As more or less the same. In fact, if not the same. And you can kick him off from near range of it.
Now, Tig, when you were coming onto the scene, you never played with Kerry Miners, the Kerry Jonas, Tig, but you turned out to be one of the greatest footballers in Kerry then. How was that?
I never played Miners. No. I played Jonas, right? We were beaten by Cork, and then was the final one. I was in Clonakilty in 1950, I think it was. Well, at that time, it was very hard to get on the Miners team. There was 15 selectors. There was one from each parish in the county, so they all left in the after their own, so I mean, something very happy around that thing.
Now, Tig, growing up in Killarney when you were young playing football, who were the best Kerry players you had seen when you were growing up that came before your time? What are your memories of the old Kerry footballers?
Well, I suppose Myers, and I was always up to his favourite Myers, and I was up on his bike with him, take his boots, which... I was back in 1938. That is, of course, Jackie too was coming very strong at that time. One of the best in traffic, his brothers, of all time, it's he was. Bill Casey was another fellow headman. I think Bill ever put in made a great athlete, more especially over the hurdles. With a long, loping stride, he had educative. Been a fantastic athlete. Gary was another man I admired. Kavanagh for his strength was another one. And then Graham and Myers and he, which was one of the greatest from back then of all time.
And then Ty, coming up along your own time, and just we'd say after your own time, then like, who were the great Kerry footballers you admired when you were playing yourself and maybe when you finished?
And then John, I suppose. Michael Connell. Peter Ware. Maddy, Gaza Stiso. Johnny Gunter. Tom Long. Michael, of course. Michael Connell.
Ty, with all the people that matched you and everything, who was the best opponent you ever met?
There was three of them there, I think, but that. And the three others were never. When there was four of them from the league. Jerry O'Reilly, Whitlow, Jerry O'Reilly, Roscommon, and Penny Ristler. And there was a little fellow in Killarney. Well, not a little fellow, a great friend of mine, Freddie Murphy. Then he had meant to shake off. There was also another for the down there in Castle, the Dashwood, who was called. Yeah. Another hand meant to shake off.
Now, Ty, outside of Kerry, then, like, I'd ask you, who was the best footballers you ever saw outside of Kerry?
I suppose Sean Postlin, Jim McKeever, Penny O'Brien, I suppose Heffernan and Sweeney. Dublin, and my friend above him, Tyrone, Iggy Jones, first man, and he said, you're brilliant. Then you had another great footballer, that's down from Tipperary, Mick Cahill, and another man in Clare, Mick Tobody.
The voice of Tiggy Line there, telling us some of the secrets of past Kerry football and the great men he met. Fascinating stuff, I must say. And we are going to the comment line this time because we have a man in Killarney who Tiggy attributes got him to join the Crokes, a great boyhood friend of his, Murt O'Shea. Murt, you're welcome.
Thanks, Rishi.
Now, Murt, will you tell us about Tiggy yourself? You grew up together. Tell us about Tiggy back in the young lad, Murt, in the 30s.
Well, he was always the best, even going to school. Like, no matter what game we played, like, Tiggy was number one all the time, no matter what it was. And I remember the time that we played all our football, of course, in the front of Sunny Hill and up at the council field up there, back about Solomon's Place now. There was a field there, so. But I remember the time, one thing that stick out in my head was when we had, there was no organised football that time for juveniles or for anything. You had to have your own make your own games. But there was a league started in the monastery back in 1944, I think it was. And at that time, we hadn't shoes going to school, not to mind football boots. But there was four teams, anyone in the monastery picked out of the school, and Tiggy had one team. John C. Cooper, John C. Course, another great player, had another team. Johnny Sullivan and Sonny Hill, Johnny had another team, and I had another team. But anyway, eventually, I finished up in the final anyway with Tiggy. And Tiggy, we stopped, it was an awful wet day, and it was played above in the park. And Tiggy said, we coming down the steps from the old green shed that was above on top of the hill that time. He said to me, do you have any boot? No, says I, what I want a boot, so we barefooted. I have a pair of boots. He says, do you want the left one or the right one? He says, because the day is bad, he says, then you might have to kick the freeze. And I'll always think of that, but of course the boot Tiggy was giving me was going to be more of an encumbrance to me than to get, because I couldn't get into it anywhere. I just mentioned that for the sake of saying it, the difference at that time.
Yes, yeah.
Playing a game, and it was a final of a league, which his team won it, then the agro and the competition that's going on today, they'd hardly salute you after the match, no, not to mind asking you a football boot.
And Mort, even at that young age, was he standing out among all of your lads, would you say?
Oh, he was the best that time going to the monastery school, yes, he was. And John C. was not far behind him. John C. was another great chair, and of course, Pretty Murphy and all the lads. But he was always, no matter what game we played, like what it was. Then when the basketball, the hurling, he was a great hurler, as you said here, he played in the hurling county final as well. And when the basketball started in again, he took it up, and he was number one again in town at the basketball, no matter what team he played for.
Was Tiggy was he an overall sportsman, Mort? Would he have excelled in whatever sport he took up?
Oh, an overall sportsman. Sure, he took up pitching, putting when it came, and sure, he won everything in it. And I don't know, did he take up the golf for a small bit, but he didn't stay much hatted long, but I guarantee you, if he did take up the golf when he was going, you can be sure he'd make a go at that too.
And Mort, you had a great night lately in Killarney, I heard. A reunion.
Well, we had kind of, but it was a sad night too, because one of our colleagues passed away, poor Billy.
Not to mention him, yes.
Billy was involved with us around that time too, and of course Billy went away in the 50s to, he had a short career because he went away in the 50s to America, he immigrated. There was much work in Killarney around that time.
So you weren't surprised, Mort, when Tiggy went along and achieved all the honours and the greatness that he did, really?
Oh, God, no, no, no.
Yeah.
Not at all, sure. The strange thing about it, he couldn't get his place in the Killarney team back in the 50s when the two clubs were joined up. And the Fitzgeralds went in their own in 51 and won the minor and senior county championship. And Tiggy was captain of the Kerry team in 52. Like, you know, that was a, you know, I don't know, that it was strange how he couldn't get on in 49 or 50. Well, he got on in 50, all right, they were beaten by Castle Island, but it was more action design because there was some fellas missing.
Listen, Mort, thanks for joining us and enjoy the rest of the programme, because I know that you're very personal friends and you were the man who asked him to join the Croaks. And listen, thanks for joining us, Mort.
Thanks, Weezy. And I wish him all the best anyway.
I know that indeed, yeah. We're going for a short break now. We'll be back with more on Tiggy Line. And welcome back to Thurles Talk. And in our visit to Tiggy Line that day, in our chats we had with him, the one thing he told us was, and surprisingly enough really, was that Tiggy was an altar boy right up until 19 or 20 years of age, which was fairly regular, I think, at that time. And also he played an Art Kerry game at the Croaks, or the Dick Fitzgeralds up in Art Kerry one time, and there was a corner back playing with the Dick Fitzgeralds or the Croaks, whatever team it was that day. His name was Bill Murphy. Now this man went on, and at the moment he is the Bishop of Kerry, Dr. Bill Murphy. He joins us in the line. Bishop, you're welcome to join us.
Thanks, Weezy.
Yeah, your memories of Tiggy, Bishop?
Well, I don't remember as an altar boy, but then you say I was. he would have served mass, I suppose, for Bishop O'Brien and probably for Bishop Moynihan when he was administrator in Killarney. Yeah, but he had left St. Brendan's when I went there, but he used to train in St. Brendan's football field. And then our last year when we were training for the Munster Cup, he used to come along and play with us. And, of course, nobody could get a ball off Peggy. If they did, like, you know, that would be a mighty feather in their cap. But one thing I remember well from those days, he had a very mighty belt of the ball, you know, and I was standing near the goal, and he shot in a low ball from about a foot off the ground, from a good distance out, and I thought that would be easy enough to clear, so I didn't bother putting my hand to it. I put my right foot to it, and if I did, I was limping for about 3 weeks after. It was the hardest shot that I ever witnessed.
And Bishop, you followed his career, I presume, after that then up along. What were the highlights for you?
Well, I thought, I watched him, of course, when he was at his best, and it was beautiful. It was lovely to watch him, the way he had such a lackadaisical, easy approach, and he'd always get to that ball before his man, and then when he turned around, and he was deadly accurate. I would imagine that in any team of the best 15 footballers in Ireland, you know, I had him listing out there the great footballers himself, but he certainly would be left half forward, I'd say, in any team that you'd make out. But I played with him one time, as you said, that particularly, I think it was 1959, and you know, one thing that struck me about him was, like, the slogan was, get the ball to Peggy.
But Bishop, you must have known that you were going to become Bishop of Kerry, because you were cute enough to play with the Legion and the Crokes.
That's right, I played with the Legion as a minor, and then I played with the Crokes, but I suppose I'll never be forgiven by either side, you know, they'll regard me as a turn court. Yeah, but I suppose if Spa was there at the time, I probably stayed with Spa because I was nearer to Spa. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not Sullivan here, Bishop. Welcome to the programme, and thanks for coming on. We should, just after stealing my question, because as a Glenfest man, I was wondering, did you ever play against Tiggy?
Oh, no, I didn't, no. Yeah. Except, like, when he played with us in St. Brendan's, but I was never playing on him or anything.
And the one thing, of course, Bishop, about him was he played with the old pigskin football and they're playing with the light football. How would you rate him today now with the great footballers in Ireland today?
Well, as I said, now, if I were picking a team of the best footballers that I have seen, I would certainly have him on left half forward. And I think it would be very hard to keep him off any best 15 Irish footballers.
And of course, he was a model. In Killarney growing up, he was a great hero for all the young fellas.
Oh, we had great admiration for him because he was a real gentleman. He was very quiet and shy and not a show off or anything, you know. And he'd come down and he'd play with us there when we were leaving certs. And he was, you know, like one of the lads. And he'd go to our matches with us too.
Your parish clap there, Tiggy Fleming, keeps you well informed about Tiggy line, of course.
He does indeed, absolutely, yeah. Tiggy be a great supporter, of course. Yeah.
Listen, Bishop, thanks very much for joining us. It was lovely to have you and to hear your thoughts on Tiggy line.
And best wishes to Tiggy there.
Yeah, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye. Bishop Murphy there, talking about Tiggy line, the man who played with him. Eamon coming back there, a few of the comments, that was fascinating stuff, of course, in the tape there. He mentioned about 15 selectors for the Kerry Miners. That's yeah. Why he couldn't get on the Kerry Miner team.
The mind boggles, Weishi. I mean, how they survive with 15 selectors, one from different areas. And he said, as he said himself, every selector was looking after their own little patch, so he said it was very hard to get on in those days.
And of course then, he played his first, he donned the Kerry jersey for the very first time with the Kerry Juniors, and they reached Munster Junior final. This was the first time he played with Kerry, and this was what happened that day.
You played a lot of basketball, played with
1951, and among those were Tommy Cooper, Tim Healy, Sean Kelly, John Dowling, Tom Spillane, Bobby Miller and Brody O'Donnell.
Yeah, and then of course, some people think, Eamon, that he played the very first time for the Kerry Seniors in a National League game, but he didn't.
No.
He played the first time when?
In a Whit Sunday tournament in Killarney, and as you know, Weishi, the Whit Sunday tournament was a big event that time at the Fitzgerald Stadium, and he came on as a second half substitute for Tralee's Brody O'Donnell.
And then, of course, he made his debut. Ireland and Kerry saw Tiggy line for the very first time in a green and gold jersey when he lined out in an autumn game in Tralee in a National League game, and this was the team that Tiggy lined out with.
In goal, Donald Marcus O'Neill, Tim Healy, Petty Bawn Brosnan, Donny Murphy, Gerald O'Sullivan, Jackie Lyne, Mixie Palmer, Sean Murphy and Dermot Hennepin, Paddy Sheehy, Tom Ash, Tiggy Lyne, Dan Kavanagh, Garrod Byrne, Brody O'Donnell and Sean O'Connor.
And of course, Eamon, he said in the tape too, amazingly I thought, the greatest game, he got the most satisfaction out of his best game was in a county championship match.
Yes, Weishi, in 1951, and a comment here from Eamon Fitzgerald who actually mentions that in the 1951 County Championship in Killarney, Tiggy Lyne's greatest hour when he kicked 9 points from play, all from 50 yards range, and all the great Marcus O'Neill could do was watch them sail in with pinpoint accuracy. Seven of them dropped in the net, certainly his favourite shot. Tiger Lion could do anything with the ball, shaping shots like the top professional golfers.
Yeah, everyone spoke about that county championship game. And before we listen to Tiger again, another bit of tape, another comment in here, it comes from Owen McCrohan in Dublin. And he says, above all others, Tiger Lion was the man who coloured my youthful imagination. I feel privileged to have seen some of the best moments of his career with club and county, including a game with Dick Fitzgerald in the county championship, which brought him to the notice of the public for the first time. Same game. That day in the Fitzgerald Stadium, he decided to overass single-handed and gave an exhibition of long-range accuracy, the likes of which I have seldom seen equaled. He had an incredible range of pure natural skills. His reading of the game was superb. His ball control was flawless. He had a deceptive turn of speed, a baffling sidestep, an intuitive instinct for being in the right place at the right time, and his kicking with left or right was phenomenal. Equally important, he was an impeccable sportsman who took hard knocks without rancor or retaliation. And Owen finishes up, in every facet of the game, he lived up to my estimation of a hero. And Patrice, you have another thing there for us.
Another comment we have is Paddy Cullity, a neighbour of mine from Kilcommon. And Paddy writes a poem especially for Tiger Lion. With Kerry's many football stars who were always there to shine, the greatest of them all was Killarney's Tiger Lion. He almost joined the Legion Club. It was on Pat O'Mara's day. He did not leave the Dr. Crokes and his good friend, Mart O'Shea. His first great year being 53, this Killarney star we saw, he wore the Kerry number 12, the year we beat Armagh. 55, his greatest year, this man we all have seen. From 60 yards, he scored points and stopped the Dubs machine. 59, he won his third a Kerry star once more. With double celebrations, he got wed the day before. He could score from any distance with feet both left and right. He kept the umpires busy, which was everyone's delight.
Lovely stuff there, and we're going to listen to Tiger Lion now again.
Who played a lot of basketball, played with Kerry, who played snooker and played hurling. Tell us about the basketball and the hurling.
Good. Well, the hurling, they were Killarney, right? I got to the fight in the championship in 1951. They were going for four. So minor, two seniors and two minors. We won three out of the four. We lost the one final transfer by 6 points or something. Well, I enjoyed holding them.
What about basketball now, Ty? You played an awful lot of basketball and represented the county now. Talk to us about your basketball career.
I started with the boys of Dan O'Keefe and John C. and Mutty and all the United. We formed a team over there and went first against DSBs and then after Tony's and that. Well, it was the football lap, but that didn't agree with it. It was very hard in the feet, like he said. He thought like he was in different bones and he says. But he didn't stop it, like, so we kept doing it. And Jack and the Jokers, Piggy Joe and Jackie Dooney, they were Jimmy Redpath. They were with the Jokers. And then when I didn't end there, I wouldn't have been it.
There was some story about you played in the National League against Galway, Kerry, and the All-Ireland Final was on the same night at basketball, and you'd been beaten, but you were being picked to play, and you didn't play after over playing the football. What was the story about that tie?
It was on the penalty. I went, I had that in my appendix, I think. That's why, like, I shouldn't have played in the league at all. The final league after the appendix. Then the basketball went by, the was a different thing.
I do hear a lot of good things about hamstrings today and cartilages and all these kind of things. Did you get many injuries yourself in your long career?
Got one wrong and twice on me, and which I think today, what is a vessel blocked in the tie, that is what I think is a hamstring, that I call the hamstring today, which is, it just cuts straight away, they've been on such things, hamstrings, aren't they? How many people by this belly helps us what they are? I don't know. It's never had to be for them. Nobody will tell them to me anyway.
Dr. Raymond, he was a medical man. Did he ever talk about those things, Ty?
No, I didn't. He didn't pamper at all like that pamper today. And we had bandages and this and that. And that the footpaths in the head and the same ran all the stores ways and they lived there. So the carry on this gun, I'd say, with a very hamstring, but the freaking head is a hamstring.
It's all fire. Ty, you're talking about injuries and things like that now. Dirty players, fellas that match, you know, did you meet those in your career? I'm sure you did.
No, you never meet. Well, I met a mad one night, but there's always a fair shoulder you'll get. Wicked yard. Fall blow, all right, but I mean, can't give you two elbows, but you could defend yourself, which I always use. I'm not ashamed to say it. I protected myself at all costs.
There was only a few club games, of course, Ty, in those days. There was no county leagues. Was that a good thing? Or have they been overplayed today?
Too many leagues. I listened to that earlier that I never knew there were so many divisions. I think they went up to Division 15 or something. And my days as well. They get in the players for days. That's too much football being played at home. And that's exciting. The sooner got it on, the better.
And of course, Ty, you were chosen. There was an Irish team that time. You played the combined universities. You captained the Irish team on one occasion, which was the Supreme Honour. Who the fellas do you remember played in those Irish teams, the great players?
John
Boston.
Penny O'Brien, I think, was one. Finney, I think. Kevin Heffley. I know Jim McDonald, Kevin was on the list. Johnny O'Reilly. Sorry, I'm early. I can't think of anyone else. It's not going to go with you, but that's 40, 50 years ago.
Ty, when you reached the 55 for the 55 final, what height were you and what weight were you at your fittest?
27.61. Which is 27 on the bill for the weight to take. I'm fully fit at that.
What do you think of the training today now, Ty? Is there too much emphasis on running, or is there not enough emphasis on skills football? What would your view be on that?
If you ask any young fellow today what's the football for, what's the answer he'd give? I'm asking you, what's the football for? What's the football for?
Well, it's for kicking, I suppose, Ty.
No, we must do something first with it.
Catch it?
Must catch it first. Any young fellow asked today, he said, must kick the ball. But I say catch us first and kick it in.
You're right, Ty, you cut me your spot on. So what's your point?
My point is to say these fellas that you have teachers, you have accountants, you have fellas with bad degrees and so forth. But in my opinion they're letting a little beggar win dictated them. The body dictating the what to do to these fellas. They aren't well educated. He's kicking the freaking ball. I'll give you an example. And I'll ask you a question. The fullback kicks out the ball. How long does it take for that ball to go over the inline? In the olden days. How long does it take?
In the old days, Ty, very short time.
Roughly 5 to 6 seconds. But today, with all this sharp passing and tapping back and forth, I tell you, I wonder, a minute and a half. Well, with maybe 4 or 5 minutes gone. So I can't see what all this passing. There's too much passing, and that's why all this pulling and dragging. Looking at the match, they are less and down. And so there's a disgrace with all the pulling and dragging. The game was very close, looked exciting, but I was sitting outside there in the sill in my window Sunday night, Sunday evening. And 3 months came down, they said to me, well, what's the master here? I said, it was. What's the hardest pulling and dragging for? And they sat there now watching that today, and it was beautiful there Sunday. They're about 19 years old, the train. But they sat in to see that kind of. And they said, what's the hardest pulling and dragging for? So something must be done.
Do you think the rules are wrong, Tiger, or do you think the referees aren't doing their job properly?
The rules, I think when they change them, they're all rules, I think. Because they have to do, because modern science changed that, like, but I think they should. First of all, if I could bring back to small square, but I know they have to protect goalie, bring back to small square. Do whatever it's been there for a phone inside or inside the 21 events is ridiculous. It was really weird me on that. I don't think a man pulled down his 21 years old deserves a penalty.
Some fascinating words there from Tai Gila, and I can tell you it will put you thinking about the overemphasis on training and not using the ball properly. And I can tell you I didn't mind being cut out by him when he asked
about
me what
catch,
to do with the ball.
Catch and kick.
Because he cut out far better men than me. We got to some listeners' comments there now, Emma.
From Johnny Collins and Abbey Field rang to congratulate Tai Gila on his marvellous achievements in the football field. Congratulations to Malin Lyon, your nephew in Killarney. I never followed in your footsteps with my two left legs. And congrats from Pat Hartnett, the PRO of the Desmond's Club and all at the club. Long life and good health.
From Tadhg Coonahan, best known as the Dazzler in Killarney, Tadhg was always my favourite. He could kick a point from any angle on the field and always played better before the thousands in Croke Park than he did for Crokes. A sign of a great footballer. Another one comes in from the Legion Club in Killarney. Whenever Killarney football is discussed in town, the name Tadhg Line never fails to come up. He was the greatest long-range point kicker Kerry has ever seen. An impeccable sportsman who was a credit to the town and all in the Legion Club. Wish him and his family all the best.
Best wishes to Tadhg Line from all the captains in the Killarney Road, Castle Island. And from the Murphy family, Sandeville, Castle Island, wishing Tadhg the best of everything for all the honour that he brought to Kerry over the years. And it is about time, they said, that somebody started honouring great footballers like this. Donny Leary, the chairman of Dr. Croke Club, says that Tadhg was one of the greatest scoring forwards of all time. He was the master of the screw kick. He was a player's player. He never chastised his fellow players for lack of ability, but always encouraged them. The Crokes are proud of him. He helped him win 4 East Kerry Senior Championships. We wish him and his family health and happiness. That's from the Donny Leary, the Dr. Croke Club, and from John Minehan, the Dr. Crokes, and Dick Fitzgerald's. And he said, what endeared Tadhg above all else to the people of Kerry and beyond was his innate modesty. Lovely bit there. And from Donny Leary of Spa, I would rate him the best kicker of long range points from both right and left foot I have ever seen. Sadly, it is a feature of the game that is missing at the present time, except for Maurice Fitzgerald. Lovely words there. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more on the great Tadhg Line. Welcome back to Terrace Talk, and before we listen to Tadhg again, listen, we'll talk about that 53 All-Ireland game and when he won his first All-Ireland medal. There was great controversy that there, wasn't there?
Well, it appears that from reading about it, that a penalty incident near the end made all the difference.
There was a big penalty that's still being talked about, and the man who kicked it has, from Armagh, Arthur Mersham, has since died, but this is what happened in Croke Park that day.
With just 6 minutes left in the game, Kerry were 2 points up when our goalie Johnny Foley picked the ball off the ground. Then a foul, a penalty, says the ref, Peter McDermott. Billy Goodson and Peter O'Reilly umpires. You could hear a pin drop in the crowd of 85,155 as Billy McHorry came up to take the kick. But the occasion got to the great Armagh man as he blazed the ball wide. Kerry went on to win, and Tadhg Line went on to secure his first All-Ireland title.
Yes, indeed. Tadhg won his first All-Ireland in 53 in Yemen. He told us that once he had won his first All-Ireland, he was a happy man.
Yeah, that was an amazing thing. I remember you asking about the 55, and he said the 53 medal, the first one, was what it was all about.
And he said there's too much emphasis today on winning medals and creating records. But we'll hear now what Tadhg Line had to say to us when we visited him in that great evening in Castle Island.
Tadhg, looking back now on your own career now, and you played all over the country, you played outside the country now, would you have any regrets now?
No. I had an offer to go to Glasgow Celtic, but my father refused to let me go inside. Sorry, after, I don't know what, but I made a job at him.
How did that come along, Tadhg? Tell us about that, or when did it come?
50 after 52 for them, three fellas and scores. That's how Celtic came out of the Canary Room to choose them. And they were into all for 6 months. But I said it's the father, although I was over 21 at the time, but I had respect for my father, so he said no. He says, well, if I haven't talked about it, I need the greatest.
What was the greatest thrill then, Tadhg, in your football career, the whole looking back in it all? What did you get out of it mostly, would you say?
Enjoyment. Enjoyment. I get great enjoyment. In fact, I was going over the boys, and in fact, Jackie, I just saw it was a cast, and I said, go and sit and watch you sit in that car. You'd all want to up to Kevin. You wouldn't stop laughing on the wheel for Jackie and the cab because he had such a empowerment with him. Damn Ash. There are characters. Could have your four points, you know, which was half so much for him with the boys, but about the day, that wouldn't have done it. They all go off with their girlfriends and make their own bed, but we'd like to have a chat after the game and meet your supporters. They'd be saying, no, you won't have to put your head in your pocket, maybe, because that's beside the point, but it's the enjoyment.
Tig, playing in Croke Park, then your first big game, running out in front of all the those crowds, and then later in 53 and 55. What's your memories of that?
The first time in Croke Park was denouncing the Tig went, because I said to them, and the rest of these ones, and they ain't going after. They don't have to go 10 minutes because they could feel nothing in the days. But he called something, he said, keep the ball over this fella, and I got the ball and I felt kind after that. 53 in the first and the semi final against Loud.
And the homecomings tied in after those All Irelands 53 and in particular 55. I remember being at the station when I was a young lad myself, and I remember a mass of people and they're chanting, "We want Tiggy, we want Tiggy, and we want Johnny, we want Johnny," the two Killarney people. What's your memories of that fabulous night?
That was great, I think. They're really thrilled with the people, like the sport they give us, like, and the homecomings and
Ty, do you remember the seven-a-sides in Sneem? They were great days. When you talked to us about their gun now, and your name came up lately, I was down in Sneem at the county league game, and your name came up about how all the inter-county players was playing there. They were great days.
Well, they were great. Fantastic. Great night out, man. Great day, man. Meeting the Bear of Ice, can you Patsy, and the whole lot. I don't know times you won. I wanted to go through things in at seven-a-sides. But you would really want to be fit for that game. For the team was the child I wanted. It's enjoyment there, but get the tea after and sign in the hall.
You mentioned Connie Paddy in there, so that'll bring us on to the Cork fellas, Ty. Of course, you had some fierce battles with Cork between National League and between Munster Championships and everything like that. Talk to us about the Cork games and about the Cork players that come to your mind.
Well, just as I my men and Dennis Bernard, they were the two men that he was be looking after me when 20 is but that's what I was a pleasure to play this club because of all this. You know you're going to get ahead and you'll take it and you'll give it to give back the same thing, like. And just of course was one of the best I ever met, I think. And
what was your best game against Cork, would you say, Ty?
53 was the final, sir. And it was cost from the day, like, 6 points, you could just stand there. And of course, we never did get a glass of rum in it. So that's when they had to kick the points, the pits over.
Then Tiger around 1960, I think you came to Castle Island. You left Killarney and came and settled down to Castle Island. Did you play with Castle Island for long then, Tiger?
2 years, I think just 2 years. I got to the semi-finals of the championship in 1961, I think. I think
in the semi-final. And then, Ty, three questions in one for you. What was your last game with Kerry and with the Crokes, if you can remember, and with Castle Island? Your last time tagging out with those three games? Could you remember?
Kerry was 1969. No, 61 against Kildare, I think, and Killarney. How that came with Kelly, I think. The Crokes in 1958. And Castellan about 1962.
Do you follow the game a lot now, Ty? Would you sit down and watch it, listen to it, and study it on the television, listen to the programs and things?
Well, that's the way they hit it at the moment. I can't go to any matches, but I watch it on television and listen to the radio and so forth, and lies the pros and cons, and often should it here when I see this carrier and this pulling and dragging and the treatment. gold. Instead of kicking that ball in the wind, we never let the batters do we have that thing, what they're doing today. I like it there. I'd like to see them first trying to kick a wet ball. It's the one I also wish you hadn't tried to kick a wet ball. But the sooner there's something done about it's pulling and dragging.
Hi, this is May now, 1998, and Kerry are out to try to retain the title. How do you think they'll do? What do you think of the present team?
I was telling the paper there, the 32 counties down there. I boiled it down to 4. Galway, Connacht, Donegal, Ulster, Dublin, and then some Kerry. I haven't made up my mind, but I think I'm going to come for Donegal to win the championship.
Tyke, when you finished yourself in Plymouth Castle and you played your last game, did you ever think about going into training teams or becoming selectors or things like that?
One bash myself in general and Billy was with one bash with the Castle Island team. Well, I'm too quiet of a man, I couldn't get cross attention to them, too quiet of a fellow. I'd like to be in the background the whole time. So not the sergeant means the only thing like that. Very shy.
Looking back now, Ty, people, I was reading about you lately, and people described you as the Prince of Forwards in Kerry. How did you take fame yourself coming up along now? Did even though you might tell me that you weren't famous, but you were. Did it affect your life in any way whatsoever? Or did you just coast through life without any problems? Had your job making matches and getting off from work and things like that?
No problem. It was quite like, I mean, it's nice to be recognised and to be thought of, like, you know, taking a rifle, I don't know if I would have got all these islands, but they're now good to me. They're speaking about 4 tickets done for the islands for me this year for this interview. That'll be my payment. You know, just about now.
We were talking a little, and I must come back to you about the basketballers playing basketball. Do you think an inter-county player today can play high-class basketball and football at the same time, or is it only? I'll be talking about Brian Clark or Owen Killarney, man. Now, do you think a fella can combine both of them?
I don't think very much. As I said, you're using different muscles. See, and it's what happened to feet as well, you see. So I think stick to one. I think
more captivating stuff there from Tyke. Lovely to listen to him, and God knows I still think of that evening. And he spoke in that portion of tape there about the seven sides below in Sneem. Now people won't remember them, but there was huge seven sides competitions being held in Sneem back in the 50s, and there was people he played against, the likes of Mick O'Connell, the Four O'Sullivans and Beara, the O'Dwyers, Gerald Hussey of the home club, John Tarney O'Shea, John Burke, Tom Long, and of course his own teammates, the late Michael O'Connell, Johnny Hurley, Jackie Looney, Con Clifford, the late Con O'Mara, Tyge Fleming, Father Tom Looney, and many others. And I was talking to Tyge Fleming during the week, and he told me a lovely story, Eamon and Patrice, before we go on there. He said in one of those days below in the seven sides, there'd be huge crowds attending them. People would come to the seven sides and wouldn't go to other matches at all. But they were talking out anyway on the side of the river, and Tyge hung up his Sunday clothes up in the furze bush alongside the river, and they were sitting down at half time, and this old man came over, and he was a man that was down from the mountains, a sheep farmer. It's quite evidently he never went to matches, only the seven sides, and he would listen to me hollow here. But Tyge told me that he stood with his mouth open, looking at the boys sitting down, taking a drink of water out of the river and things like that. And he turned around to Tyge Flim and he said, "So that's the great Tyge line. I'll die a happy man now that I've seen him play." God knows, Eamon, that was nice.
Kinti Adoz, an all-male captain from Killarney, congrats on a fine footballer, one of a kind, continued help and happiness. One memory of Tyge standing at one end of the pitch, kicking a free, and from the scoring from the impossible angle. Thanks for the memories, Dan Donohoe. Tyge and Mary Lyon, all the best for the future. JP and Noreen Hussey from Ballydove. Luke Kane says he saw Tyge in 1951 in Tralee. Free taking was unique and always sticks out in his mind. kicking pints from the Carmel flag was one of the great tides of Tighe. Eugene O'Donnell, like Lanny Man living in Shannon, and Pat Brown, Ryan to say, Tighe line name was magic in football. Great memories. Thanks to Weeshie Radio, Kerry, and Terrace Talk for bringing in the greats of the past.
And also Dan O'Keefe from Killarney. Tighe was the most natural left and right kicker inside 50 yards he has ever seen. If he had today's training and sponsorship, he would be the greatest ever. He was always the most unassuming, quiet and gentle person I ever knew. He would never boast about his football and medals. His best game was a county championship in which he scored 9 points, all outside 50 yards with left and right. He was also one of the county's outstanding basketball players, but most of all, he was and still is a great friend.
And just before we go out for a break, one of the county's and the country's most outstanding basketball players, of course, he won an All-Ireland medal in 1957, and the men who helped him win it were Dan O'Keefe, Tighe Riley, Paul Cantlin, Dominic Moriarty, Paddy Culligan, Christy Welsh, Moss Breen, John Dalton, Holly Dunhoe, Paddy O'Reilly, and the coach was the one and only Dennis Foley, now a TD. That was the first time that the All-Ireland Basketball Championship ever came to Kerry, and Tighe Line was one of the men there. And now we're going for a break. We'll be back shortly. Come back for more on Tighe Line. Welcome back to Terrace Talk, and a few more of your comments. Eddie Tatler O'Sullivan, that mighty man from Killarney, says he saw Tighe winning a National League final in New York with Kerry, and he had the pleasure and the distinction of winning a District League medal with Castle Island with Tighe around 1961, and he says he was one of the best forwards that Kerry has ever produced. And John Kelly of Spar says that his kicking was like a golfer's swing. He was like Faldo or Tiger Woods, he says. I think, he says, that the GAA failed in not using him as a coach. A lovely bit there. And Phil Horn from the Desmonds, congratulations and best wishes to my hero of pine kicking, long life and health. By that's from Phil Horn. Lovely comment here. Eamon, I just want to mention again there about in 1953 in the semi-final against Louth, after 10 minutes he wanted to come off.
That's right, he said his legs were like lead, and that he just couldn't seem. He just said that there was nothing to be done, but Dr. Eamon had the cure.
Dr. Eamon had the cure. He got a man to kick the ball up to him to make sure he'd get it. And just one more point on what he said there about three scouts called to the garage to him and asked him to go to Glasgow Celtic, and his father asked him not to go, and he wouldn't go against his father.
Even at being over 21 at the time, he said later, that was it. Whatever his father said, he went with it. And sure, Glasgow Celtic's loss was Kerry's gain.
And before we go to the comment line, around in 53, there was collective training. All the players would come into Killarney at the time. They'd come in for 2 weeks before the semi-final and the final. They'd get a few bob in their pockets, and they'd either stay at the Park Place Hotel or maybe the seminary. And the days, they were together for constantly for 2 weeks, and the day's collective training went something like this.
Staying at the Park Place Hotel or St. Brendan's College, 7:30 a.m. rise, 8 a.m. mass and a walk afterwards until 9:30 a.m. breakfast, 11 a.m. Fitzgerald Stadium for sprinting, running, football and team tactics under the watchful eye of Dr. Eamon and Paul Russell, 1:30 p.m. lunch and relax in their rooms until 4 p.m. then back to the stadium for exercise, stretching and massage, 6 p.m. tea and afterwards a long walk, 9:30 p.m. supper, 10:30 bed and lights out. Players would not have lost the benefits of the last training session, so said Dr. Eamon O'Sullivan.
Eamon, could we see collective training come back in?
Well, I tell you, it might save a lot of money, but I think times are different.
Now, we're going to the comment line, and we're going to men who knows more about collective training, who knows more about Tighe Line, he knows more about Kerry football. Donnie Sheehan, you're welcome.
Thank you, Weeshie. I don't know all about that. But I'll say one thing, you'd often hear about fellas, one of the all-time greats, but in my opinion, Tighe was the greatest of them all.
Talk to us about him, Donnie.
Well, I'll tell you, he practiced and practiced above in the stadium. He'd often go up on his own and kick the ball and be looking for some fella to kick it back to him. And I heard you talking there about the training and Dr. Eamon. I knew Dr. Eamon well. I used to play calves with him. And Dr. Eamon's method of training was sprints and all the rest, but he brought down a blackboard in, and he divided that into big squares. And he told every fella, you're not to stir out of that particular square for the match, you know. And he was very emphatic in that, like, the corner back played in the corner back position and no place else, like, you know.
Sorry for interrupting you.
Yeah.
Tighe Line and the Crokes, you saw him during all his career.
Well, I was chairman of the Croke Club for 20 years, And I thought, as a matter of fact, I had the honour, I would say the honour, of playing corner forward in the 51 team, and Dick Fitzgerald's in the county final, and Trilly and Tiggy was outside me, which I had nothing to do because Tiggy kicked points from far out. I didn't get three kicks of the ball. But I would say in my time that he was the best kicker of the ball. I just said the other day, wouldn't Mick Waddell love to have Tiggy above and kill there, no, to kick them long range points and, for him. There's nobody kicking those points at the moment. We're a disgrace to football. They have to bring it into the 14-yard line.
That was the best game you ever saw him playing, Don?
And my best game, as far as I was concerned, was against Cavan in 55. The drawn match and the replay against... I got married myself in 55. I was at both matches. The drawn match and the replay against Cavan. It was really outstanding in those two games.
Don't you listen? We could stay talking to you all night.
We could forever.
We could, and listen to me. It was lovely having you on the comment line, and Tiggy will have enjoyed listening to you.
Tiggy, I wish you all the best, Tiggy. You knew know that. I was a great friend of his. And hello?
Hello, I'm with you, Johnny.
And one other thing, those days in Sneem at the 7-a-side, I heard you talking about the Father Tien from Sneem snapped at all that. And we had some of the most marvellous days down there. We played the Cork fellas, the South Kerry fellas, and the whole lot of them. And we won that 7-a-side about 6 times.
I know, Don. Listen, thanks for joining us, Donnie.
Yeah.
We're going to Donald Duke O'Connor now. That's the Duke, I presume, from Castleline. Is that right, Donald?
That's right, Richie.
You're more than welcome, my friend.
Thanks very much, Richie.
Your memories of Tiggy.
Well, it's a story I want to tell that Tiggy told to me one day when we were playing pitch and put. It relates to a game in Dublin between, or in Croke Park, between Dublin and Kerry. It was in a grounds tournament. And Tiggy used to always, before games, he'd buy a packet of silver mints. And, hello?
Yeah, work away.
And he used to buy a packet of silver mints. And he'd break it in two, like, and he'd get half the package inside until half time, but he'd always put the other half into his sock. And just anyway, he was playing, and Paddy Holden was marking him. And Tiggy, and he was sucking the old mints away. And Paddy said to him, "What are you eating?" And he said, "I have a mint. I'm eating a mint there." So he said, "Give me one of those." So Tiggy gave him one anyway. And about a couple of minutes after, a ball came between the two of them. And Tiggy caught it. And Holden fell behind him. Tiggy slipped him and kicked the point anyway. And he was running back out. And next thing he saw, all the first aid crowd around Holden. And just the referee was coming out to Tiggy. They were all shouting that he had hit your man. But what happened was that your man, the Swede, got caught in your man's throat. And when he recovered, he obviously told the referee what was after happening, but they were thinking of sending off Tiggy. But Tiggy tells that one himself.
Donald, listen, thanks very much for joining us, but as you know, we must keep moving. Lovely story, and it was nice to record it.
Bye.
Thanks, Donald.
Listen, Dave Gainey Sr. from Limerick Broadcast Island rang, and he hopes that there will be many more tributes to programmes in the future for past players, and he recalls the great John Joshi here earmarking Tiggy for greatness at a very early age, and he wanted to remind listeners about Joe Sherwood, who used to write a column in the back of the Evening Press.
The man with the big pipe.
The man with the big pipe in the soup with Joe Sherwood in the back of the Evening Press. And one time when they were discussing great Kerry forwards, Joe Sherwood wrote, "No one could outshoot the man from Laramie, Tiggy Lyne."
Well, now, let's hear more from the man from Laramie, because we were talking to that man, and let's hear what he said.
Two boys and two girls. Eileen, married in Cork. Madden Bell and Colleague, Breeze, Madden Borobia. Brendan Rowden, he's going to Northern England with Fords, he's getting married in July. And I have the baby in his own Dermot. Man that played with Kerry in the room.
And of course, Dermot, or Damo, as he'd be better known, he won in All Ireland with he was on the Kerry panel for a good while, Tiggy, and he won in All Ireland with the Desmonds.
That's right, yes, and he was on the Kerry panel too, but just missed out on that. And when we said, "I'm mad about that," because there's enough to talk about this note and that in the middle. But my position as far as that last incident to Hassett is that he was not entitled to a middle. He was not entitled to a middle. There, so he shouldn't have got a middle. He should have rested so.
You're living here now on the main streets in Castle Island now. Who would your neighbours be?
Oh, Mrs. Donohoe and Sean Brennan. my locker when I go off, and he had to send me a car, send me a pint, we go to Ben's, one or two there.
Maybe we'll
we might. With Cathy, of course, but our great neighbour was Gail, and all you remember Gail. Gail, great GM, addressed his heart.
Ty, before we finish up, we're going to finish up now, but I must bring you back again about the practice. I was fascinated about the way you learned your skills. You were left and right footed, weren't you?
Yeah, well, more especially in the left. I tapped up pretty strong, and I got stronger than the right in, which just where is hanging the ball from the left.
Now, Ty, without labouring anything, you just got through it again about you sang that two footballs after. Tell us about that again, Ty.
Only about four inches off the ground and kick away the close it as we can and control it.
Come back
here and control it. We could do it foot like to stop it like.
We were talking about your point kicking all day, Ty, now of course we should continue on. But what about your goal scoring? You used to take penalties, and what was the best goal you ever scored? And I remember you were rattling a goal past me here for Castle Island one time years ago. But what, tell us about the goal scoring, Ty.
I scored a few of my team, but I suppose the 55 inch cabin was there. There was only punch goal than the key goal, I suppose.
Would you spend a long time then in the stadium when you were young, Ty, when you were practicing there, and before would you be on your own, practicing your kicking? You used to go out around the corner flag and things. Would you put a lot of emphasis on your kicking left and right?
I mean, I used to take 2 miles of me. Start at the 21 and out to the 15, then the right hand side, and then the centre, then and out to the left hand side. About an hour and a half, like. And if we got room for the dentist, just be kicking the ball out to me, you know, so.
Ty, I did see you doing it, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. I did see you pointing from the corner flags on numerous occasions. Tell us about your kicks from the corner flags.
Well, I used to do that regularly, I think. I mean, that was just by a twist. That's why I got into the... When I got this idea of turning the ball, such as... So I mean, I read it. The law of gravity will bring it. I know I can't... You want a piece of paper to... Put on this stone, but I done with the right leg and done with the left leg. And another thing for accuracy too, if you stand out and say 30 yards out and pick a spot in after Casper, put a dab of paint and try and pinpoint that which will kick. We'll get accuracy the one time.
Ty, many goalkeepers faced you down in your career, all over Ireland and further afield. Could you rattle off a few of the best goalkeepers? Who was the best goalkeeper you ever saw? Would you have three or four in your mind, like Jack Mangan, I suppose? And
Jack was one of Paddy Tyres, is it?
Yeah.
From Cork, yes. And, as they said, all headers. Sean Wynne, yes. And Mayo.
What about travelling, Ty? You were out farming a few times. Where did your football bring you?
Twice to New York and a few times to England, Belfast. All over. You go off in a lot of fields in that time, in all the 50s. Which was great weekends out and modern weekends, I'd say.
There's a lot of talk now, Ty, going on about this Rule 21, which forbids the British Armed Forces from becoming members of the GA. What's your view on that?
No comment.
No comment, that's a good one. Ty, listen to me. Ty, listen, it was lovely talking to you.
I'm becoming a marathon runner at one stage in my life. When I was the age of 15, myself and my great friend over the monarch, the man who shared Petty. We got up to the field, and we decided we'd been had some runners. And then this was summertime now, so. Yeah. We decided one day we go up in the windows on the rooms. This is outside the sideline now, around the outside of the pitch. Four of them is a mile. So we started off in there, and we went. We started off a very lively gate, in fact, we started to a leg, you see, but buried after 32 of them, wasn't it? I kept going to 48. I was caught in when the 72 of them, I remember. And the 14 wise, oh Jesus, I think I'll give up this ballot. And I'll go not here for it.
So that finished it, did it, I?
I have not done. I decided to go to down to the housing. I've had some place for the 100 yards, 116, and go to champion. I think that's what they're on the middle of the heavens. Athletics.
Well, Ty, we're finishing up. So, listen, thanks very much for having us in your home and giving us that interview. And it was an honour and a pleasure for him and myself to be here to be able to talk to you, because indeed, as I said before, when I was on a young fella, 12 or 13, it was Ty Gilline was over here on Tranmere, and we just kicked the ball in and out him, and it was lovely to be able to talk to you. And we wish you well, Ty, and we hope that you'll enjoy our programme on Terrace Talk. By the way, do you listen to Terrace Talk?
Every Tuesday night, very good. Usually very proud of us at the door, very proud.
Tiger Line there, lovely man to talk to, and his sister Sheila and her husband Donald listen below to the programme in Bantry. They send best wishes, Tiger, and we'll be sending on all the comments that we've got. We can't read them all, we'll be sending them all on to Tiger. Now, Dennis P. O'Sullivan is on the line. Dennis P., Falter.
Good meal, Margaret, we say.
Well.
Very briefly, I'm delighted to hear you, Tiger, and wish you all the best. As son of a Kilgarvan man, we always took special pride in you. Those glorious long-range points you screwed over in the 1955 final will always live in memory. When you were the travelling representative for Rhino Mills Castle Island, we always enjoyed that weekly visit and chat. When we won our first Kerry Senior Hurling Championship final in 1953, your young Kilgarvan first cousin, Sonny Dillon, playing on the wing like yourself, showed your style and class. Same as in TV nowadays, Fergal McCormack resembles his famous uncle Mick O'Connell, Richard and Dukas. And by the way, you are also a hurler of no mean repute. When he narrowly lost the 1951 final, you played a big part in helping to demolish us in the quarter final played at Father Green Park in Mayor. You're a sportsman supreme in all codes. Slanagus Benaklat McCaradilish.
Lovely tribute there, and thanks very much, Dennis, and we're staying in the We're staying on the comment line now.
All of it, is it?
We're staying on the comment line now because Jerome O'Shea from Castlevine is with us, and he's going to tell us of his memories of playing with Tiger. Jerome, you're welcome.
Thanks, Rishi.
Yeah, well, your memories of Tiger.
We nearly impossible, Rishi, to get to all those in the short time available, like,
yes,
you know.
Yes, yeah.
But anyway, my first memory of Tiger goes back a long, long way to a school's match between Castlevine and Stem. Just played in a place, if you ever heard of it, called Green Machine.
Right.
And I was busy at that stage. I was keeping an eye on another young man from Killarney, Noel Brosnan, if you remember him.
I do indeed.
And but I still had time to notice the display of the other wing forward, and that was Tiger Line. You know, he didn't change much over the years. Like, he was tall, he was slight, he was gangly. And he displayed that day, you know, as a 14 or 15 year old, many of the talents and qualities of the great player that he was to become in later years. As you know, he won every honour in the game, and into the bargain was a fine sportsman and always a gentleman on the field of play. Do you know, we met casually after that semi-final as 15-year-old, and that was the beginning of a trail that later was to lead us with Kerry on to 7 senior Munster championship wins and 3 losses, and 3 All-Ireland wins in 53, 55, 59, and 2 losses in 54 and 60. And indeed, Munster Championship wins in basketball as well. Tiger's style of play changed very little over all those years. I think he was strong in taking on defenders. He never shirked the hits that came his way from defenders while waiting for the high ball, which was very much part of the catch-and-kick game at that time. I know very well that Tiger preferred the kick to the catch aspect of this style. I know the time he disliked most on the football pitch was the waiting period for the high clearance from his teammates to enter into what he is to describe as the catching area.
Jerome, unfortunately, yes. Time is catching up with us. Yes. Listen to me.
Could I say briefly on that, like, yes. You know, Awishi, because I think, like, of all the influences, and it would be very difficult to say all you want to say about Tiger Lion in a shot, in a very, you know,
impossible available.
But to my mind, I'd like to say this, that he was one of the footballers that truly epitomizes for people all that the green and gold of Kerry stands for. A living legend.
Thank you, Jerome.
And I wish him every success.
I know you do. Lovely Thank tribute. And of course, he won his two All-Irelands, one in 55 and one in 59. And just about that 55 All-Ireland, there was a lovely tribute paid to him by Eugene McGee.
The one forward whom Dublin could not cope with was Tiger Lyon, who that season had proved that he was one of the greatest point scorers from play that Kerry had ever produced. Bear in mind that Lyon was playing with the old leather pigskin football, which was much heavier than the modern ball. His kicking of the long-range points set him apart from all other forwards of his or subsequent generations. In the 55 final, his style of scoring crystallised the essence of difference between Kerry and Dublin football.
And Eamon, you have the quiz winner there?
Quiz winner for this week, our seven quiz winner, Helen O'Brien, took the 8-field driveless stall, and we'll have the grand final next week on Terrace Talk. Jerry Savage, Tiger Lyon, one of the best ever of six Kerry forwards, and Gary McMahon, son of the famous Brian, the best player he ever played with.
And Terrace Talk will come from the terrace of the Fitzgerald Stadium next Tuesday. If you're around, call up and see us and talk to us. Now, whenever and wherever GA men and women meet to discuss the greatest forwards of the history of the game, the name Tiger Lyon will rank with the very best. He captivated thousands at home and abroad with his magnificent point kicking with both legs. He was to me, like many more, a boyhood hero, but most of all, he was and still is an exemplary person. It was a privilege for Terrace Talk to have been afforded the opportunity of paying him our tribute. We hope the listeners enjoyed the programme. My thanks to Margaret Brick in reception, Tom Lyons in sound, Joe O'Mahony was producer, Eamon and myself did the research, and so all that remains is for Patrice O'Connor to sing her tribute to Tiger Lyon, Prince of Forwards, and this is Wishy Fogarty saying, Tiger, thanks for the memories.
Tiger Lyon has sent over another Kerry point. Tie to Boyle for Dublin, and Boyle takes a shot, and it is a point for Dublin. Tiger Lyon increases the Kerry lead, and from the kick out there's a midfield tussle, in which Ollie Freeney gets in and sends the ball out to the wing between Jack High and Mixie Palmer. And the Kerry man gets the better of the...
Oh, the dawn it broke in Kerry as we raced across the ferry, and we set our course for Dublin with a beautiful hey-ho. And our hearts with hope were beating as the ocean waves were meeting, and the mountain sheep were bleating in old Kerry long ago. Oh, the city lads and lasses, they came out in throngs and masses, with their sky-blue ribbons streaming in the sunny morning, oh. As they cheered and crowed for Dublin, sure with joy our hearts were bubbling, for we knew they'd soon be troubling with all Kerry long ago. Now the ball had made the foreman, and with 90,000 roaring, oh, it's leaping mad and jostling with a gallant tally-ho. And until the hour I'm dying, I be praying for Tiger Lyon, for he sent the leather skying for all Kerry long ago. Oh, 'twas shouldering like fury till the cheers were heard in Uri, with Mahony in the barna and was Tom Costello. For soon McShane, John Cronin had the Metro lads a-growing, as they showed him how we played the game in Kerry long ago. Oh, the Murphys played as three men, with Jeremiah's fair-haired layman, gallant Paddy and young Colletty, Moriarty and John Joe. While Dr. Jim the hero flew across the sea by hero, faith he smashed into the square-o for all Kerry long ago. Our captain brave John Dowling, sure he never threw the towel in, with O'Shea around midfield, they drove back the valiant foe. And Ned Roach from Knocknagosh, like the mighty rock of Cashel, he withstood the Dublin dashing for all Kerry long ago. Oh, 'twas home we drove a-dawning, jaded out and fully yawning, the victory fires upon the hills, they set out our hearts at low. For while the reeks are standing on the holy mount of Brandon, we will sing the praise of Grandman and of Kerry long ago. Here's a health to brave Marino, though they'll never down the Greeno. May the vines be praised in Erin, sure from Wexford to Mayo. There's a credit to our sire land, for we all are sons of Ireland, like the men who brought the laurels home to Kerry long ago.